Berman is stepping in to take a closer look at growing anti-Semitic and Islamophobic strife on college campuses as the Israel-Hamas war rages on. Correspondent Tom Foti has our top story from Washington.
The Education Department is now formally investigating such accusations at six colleges, specifically Cornell, Columbia University, and Cooper Union in New York, Lafayette College and the University of Pennsylvania there, and Wellesley College in Massachusetts. In fact, in one such instance earlier, federal prosecutors last month criminally charged a Cornell University student with allegedly making online threats against Jewish students there.
Israeli soldiers are back inside Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital searching for evidence of a Hamas command center. CBS's Doug Williams reports from Tel Aviv.
Hamas has denied claims that it operates from Gaza's hospitals, and Prime Minister Netanyahu told CBS News he believes Hamas militants fled Al-Shifa Hospital as Israeli forces approached.
Israel says its troops could target southern Gaza next. President Biden has talks scheduled with his Mexican counterpart today. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The meeting with Mexican President Obrador will take place on the sidelines of the summit with Asia-Pacific leaders in San Francisco. The White House says President Biden and President Obrador will discuss ways to continue to work together to manage migration at the shared border.
A mistrial in the case of a former Louisville, Kentucky police officer charged in the botched raid that killed Breonna Taylor. Brett Hankinson was accused of violating her civil rights when he fired 10 shots. The Taylor family's attorney, Lonita Baker.
You know, a mistrial is not an acquittal, and so we live another day to fight for justice for Breonna, and that's what she's going to continue to do, is fight for justice for Breonna Taylor.
A jury in San Francisco has found the man who hit former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband Paul in the head with a hammer guilty of federal charges of attempted kidnapping and assault. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The jury just did not believe the defense's argument that there was this mismatch between the motivation and the crimes that were charged.
David DePapp now faces up to 50 years in prison. Tragedy for a popular comedian and his family. Dana Carvey says his 32-year-old son has died of an accidental drug overdose. Dex Carvey was also a comedian and opened for his father's 2016 Netflix stand-up special. His dad has released a statement saying he and his wife will miss their son forever. S&P futures are up 11. Dow futures ahead 100. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits. In business.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Research shows even more people would be working in Wisconsin if it weren't for childcare challenges.
Difficulty in finding childcare translated into about 60,000 workers, potential workers that weren't in the workforce because of that.
Dennis Winters is the chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin in Madison find the donated brains of men who were veterans in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were 26% times more likely to show signs of Alzheimer's disease than men who did not serve in the military. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
It's the Packers against the Chargers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 3-6 Packers host the 4-5 Chargers Sunday at Lambeau Field. Former offensive tackle Brian Bulaga is in town and says he wants to retire as a Packer. Bulaga played for both Green Bay and the Chargers. Kickoff at noon, game time weather pretty good for the middle of November. Sunshine and 45 Although Green Bay has struggled with this young roster, one player is having a great rookie season. Jaden Reed's stats are getting close to another receiver, Sterling Sharp. I asked Reed, what's the key to preparing for these games?
Getting a better feel for the offense, understand my job, and just, you know, study your opponent, know what they do, and, you know how to attack them.
College football, the Badgers hope to snap a three-game losing streak when they host Nebraska 6:30 tomorrow night in Madison. Badgers running back Braylon Allen trying to come back from a high ankle sprain. Will he be able to play?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy and a whole lot colder today. We'll get to around 42 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. 29 tonight, sunny. 50 tomorrow, 50 again on Sunday. The weekend looking good, and enjoy it while you can because it's going to get colder. We're talking highs in the 20s by mid to late next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Oh, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Friday. Let me say it one more time to make it real. It's Friday. It's November 17th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, by podcast, social media. Hey, I got a question for you. What's the best Thanksgiving meal? Is it a traditional oven-cooked turkey? Are you one of the brave souls who uses a big old deep fryer? Do you make turkey using a grill or a smoker? Or do you go off the board entirely and your Thanksgiving dinner is made up of what? You tell us. And what makes for the best stuffing? And is there a best kind of pie out there? And why isn't it pumpkin? And of course, the biggest debate of all, the one that leads to fisticuffs, cranberries that are fresh or gelled from a can. You ponder all of that while I tell you what's on tap for this Friday. We're going to visit, Kiev Akil is off this week, so visit with our old friend Carolyn Fiddler, who writes the State House Action newsletter. Let's see. Also, quite the report from our friend Dan Schaefer, who writes the Recombobulation Area, about Speaker Voss and his Brazilian Vanishing Act. There was a day in the state capitol last month, you'll recall, when a special session of the legislature was supposed to begin. Some parents and daycare providers had traveled hours to plead for help from lawmakers. The day session was gaveled in and immediately adjourned, and it turns out the legislature's most powerful member wasn't even there. A new report shows that Robin Voss was at a five-star resort in Brazil at the time. In our second hour, we'll talk to Mark Jacob and we'll ask again, how many times will we have to endure national pollsters who measure presidential races on a national basis when that's not how we elect presidents? We elect them on a state-by-state electoral college basis. And we see these polls about folks who don't like their candidate choices. Well, those are our choices. I mean, you can wish in one hand, as the saying goes. So we don't get to choose it based on who we like. It's who's there. It's a binary choice by and large. And so what do you want to do then? That's what needs to be measured. We'll get the forecast from Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology as well. And you can be a part of all the magic here at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Call it, text it, or leave us a comment on Facebook. Pictures around the Civic Media Radio Network look like this. At our home base, 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls, it's 28 degrees here on Lake Wissota. Folks listening to the Buzz of the North up in Hayward, it's 27, 20 degrees colder than yesterday for some of these northern cities. Park Falls is at 26. Bull Falls radio listeners in Wausau, you're at 30 degrees right now. Green Bay, 39. Oshkosh, 41. Eagle listeners in La Crosse, you're at 33. Wisconsin Rapids, 33. Madison is at 39. And it is 41 degrees in Waukesha, where we find Greg Bach at the Shaw, WAUK. Good morning, Mr. Bach.
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. And 41 is a balmy. Put some shorts on. Get that sunscreen. I'm going to the beach. It's the weekend, baby.
Yeah, that's not going to last.
No, so, I know.
I was looking at some of the, well, like if you're watching the video feed of this, you see that there's this nice background of the woods and water, and it's all in fall colors. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me as I'm looking at that and some of the other bumper pages and things, like we're going to have to change all those to winter graphics pretty soon. We'll have to wait for like the first real snowfall, but then we got to change all the scenery.
Oh, do you do that for like you change the background? That's so cool.
Well, we try. We try
That's
not to look
really nice.
Too terribly lazy. So what do you think on the Thanksgiving question there? Because and by the way, you also told me you're going to have some kind of a big family announcement today. So I don't know if that ties into Thanksgiving or not.
But. Well, I mean, when do you want, I can make the announcement today. Do you want it to be now or do you want it to be?
Seems like there's something going on here.
Well,
that we maybe
it's
need
not,
to hear it right
it's
away.
It's not that big of a deal. It's a big deal for us, but it's not a big deal for anyone else, honestly. But we can wait until when Dan's here or when, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'll do it whenever you'd like. I'm here for you.
You notice I'm just letting you go on this because it's making the listeners go, oh, come on already. So what is it, Greg?
Last night, my wife, Bridget, and I, we bought a dog.
Aww.
Yeah, see, everyone's like, well, I'm turning this off.
Wait. Well, no, let's ask some questions. First off, legally? I mean, it's not somebody else's dog?
Next question. Yeah. So,
What kind of dog?
It's a mix. It is a German Shepherd Pomeranian mix.
German Shepherd Pomeranian.
Yeah, when we read about it, her name is Kalia, but we're going to, that name's not happening. I don't like that.
Okay.
But it's funny because
she's
14 weeks.
Okay. And, oh, nice.
And I'm just going to get out of here right now. Mm-hmm. Listeners, do not at me or just, you know, at some other radio station.
uh-oh, here we go.
We did not go through a rescue because we were looking all over the place and we just happened across a service that helps, and it's through a breeder. It's a legal, safe, humane breeding service. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying that right now. Don't at me. Don't get mad at me, hipsters.
No, that's okay.
But yeah, so we don't have her yet. We made the transaction last night, and then she has to go for like one more vet visit, and then we can go pick her up. She's in Indiana.
Do you know how many weeks we had Melissa Kay on from Locally Grown Radio talking about the Name the Chicken contest? have you thought of turning this over to either the As Goes Wisconsin listeners or us? And do we get to vote on a name? I mean, it couldn't be worse than Bodie McBoatface, right? Let us name the puppy.
I'll tell you what. You guys can name the puppy in theory.
In theory.
You guys can. Yeah, and then
if you ever meet the puppy, you can try to call her by her name and see if she comes with it. She will not.
Yeah, we already have a name for her.
Okay.
So it was very, this is my first dog. We didn't grow up with dogs.
Oh.
And Bridget really wanted a dog. And it's not that I didn't want one. I was like, oh, I'm the guy who's like, we got so much stuff to do and blah, 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 and everything. So that's the big announcement. I'm sorry, listening audience, if that wasn't big enough for.
Oh, yeah. They're so disappointed hearing about an adorable puppy.
She's so cute. She's when I was reading about her mother, the German Shepherd, 50 pounds. Her father, the Pomeranian, 8 pounds.
I thought it might be a little early in the morning for that kind of discussion, but Dad, way to go, man. Way to punch over above your weight. So
Dad loves you the go, tall ladies. What can I say?
Okay. We're going to leave it at that and turn back to our other topic here. So you're going to have this puppy and you're moving into Thanksgiving weekend.
Yep.
So what is Thanksgiving dinner like?
Thanksgiving for us is very traditional. We do the turkey. We do all the sides. We got stuffing, potatoes, green beans. There'll probably be cranberry. The cranberry will not be from a can, although I'm fine with both. I'm fine with both.
I'm a can guy because that's what I always had as a kid. So you like what you know, kind of like what you grew up with.
It's also easy
like
too. You just slice it up, and there you go. But the problem is, here's the big problem, is that every year the same thing happens. We go over to someone's house, or they come over to our house around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and we start with some appetizers. But the appetizers are so plentiful that by the time we get to Thanksgiving, the dinner, everyone's full and everyone has a plate. And then there are the leftovers aren't what I'm complaining about. It's just there's so much food then. So I told my family, like, we're going to do an appetizer Thanksgiving 1 year. Bring your fanciest appetizers and we'll just sit and eat those. We'll be good.
Thanksgiving tapas.
Exactly. Oh, I love that.
There you go.
Top us the morning to you, sir.
If you would like to tell us, you know, the best dinner that you've ever had, the best way to have a turkey. I'll say this about deep fried turkeys, because all you ever see are the fire department videos, you know, of it going bad. I will still say the best turkey I ever had was the 1 year that I went to somebody's house who used the deep fryer. And of course, he was extremely careful. He's quite the professional. It was the best turkey. I mean, it was just so juicy and delicious.
I've only had it once.
I could never do that. Nope. So we'd love to, and especially that cranberry one. People get really worked up if get the wrong one. I don't get worked up. I just don't get I don't eat the fresh cranberry salad. It's a little weird.
Also, I will say this. I know pumpkin pie is a favorite, and I do love the pumpkin pie, but if you can find yourself a good fresh sweet potato pie, get that in your life.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. 844-967-2789. It's time to start talking about next week and what y'all are getting ready for. You can stay up to date on what Up North News is doing by getting our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the top banner, or click store in the top banner, because there's apparel there as well, t-shirts and tote bags and much more. That's over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, 6:16. Let's do the sports now, because there's a lot to preview, and then we'll pause, and then we'll get into where Robin Voss was when he should have been at the Capitol for a special session of the legislature. But there's a lot to preview here sports-wise that I want to go over, because we're heading into the weekend. Folks want to know what's what. Let's start with high school football. The first four championship games were held yesterday at Camp Randall. So in Division 7, congratulations to Edgar, winning over Blackhawk Warren 36-6. Division 6, Stratford is champions again over Darlington 10-7. Division 5, La Crosse Aquinas over Wrightstown 32-13. And in Division 4, Luxembourg Casco is your state champion, defeating Lodi 38-14. At 10 o'clock is the Division 3 championship, Rice Lake taking on Grafton. At 1 o'clock, the Division 2 championship game between Wanakee and Badger. And then at 4 o'clock, the Division 1 state high school football championship game between Marquette and Franklin. The Packers play the LA Chargers at Lambeau Field on Sunday at noon. You can catch that game on Radio from the Center, WRCO-FM in Richland Center, WRJN-AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Badger football is home against Nebraska coming up on Saturday. You can hear that across some stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Check our app there for more. The Bucks play tonight at Charlotte and then home against Dallas. You can catch those games on Oshkosh Air Support, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Badger men's basketball is active tonight, 6 p.m. at the Kohl Center versus Robert Morris. That includes some coverage on some of your Civic Media Radio Network stations. Badger women's basketball plays Sunday at Kansas State. The fourth-ranked Marquette men's basketball team plays next Monday in the Maui Invitational. Marquette women play Sunday afternoon at home against St. Peter's. A little bit more of those previews of sports and then some headlines as we unpack the news on a Friday here on Up North News Radio.
You're
listening to 93.5 The Tap, The Todd Almost Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Almost Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. 93.5 The Tap.
This would have been Gordon Lightfoot's birthday today, passed away earlier this year. We'll have more music anniversaries and history notes coming up in today's history lesson a little later on this hour. Badger men's hockey team ranked number one in the country. They are at Michigan State tonight and tomorrow. The Badger women's hockey team also number one in the country. They're at Ohio State tonight and tomorrow. And then the Badger women's volleyball team, they are at Purdue tonight, 6 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, and then they play Sunday afternoon. Whoops, I scrolled past too fast here. They play Sunday afternoon at Indiana is where that is. All right, let's take you back to September 20th, and we can even go back prior to that, because Governor Evers, I believe it was in August sometime, called a special session of the legislature, and for good reason. While the state budget was done, and they had reached agreement on many things, there were things that didn't get done, or didn't get done well, before the deadline. They always have a June 30th deadline every other year to pass a state budget. So the governor turns to the legislature and says, hey guys, and ladies, there's some things we didn't do, things were rushed. What do you say we all meet on September 20th and we try again to do something for the child care crisis? We try to do something to make a tax cut more for the middle class. We try to get that College of Engineering building done at UW-Madison that your folks at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce want you to vote for. Let's get together September 20th and let's make this happen. Which is about the time that the legislature has its normal fall session anyway. So, I mean, legislators already knew they were coming in at about that time. But by the governor calling a special session, it kind of provides a little direction and says, hey, at least talk about these things along with whatever else you're going to do. Of course, spoiler alert is they didn't get any of these things done. But what we learned yesterday from Dan Schaefer, who runs the recombobulation area, something you should really be following in terms of his newsletter. You can also get a paid subscription, follow him on social media. But Dan Schaefer, through open records requests, was able to determine that as people gathered at the Capitol, some of them traveling hours to plead their case to the Speaker of the Assembly and other Republicans gathered. And you'll recall, everybody wondered, would they just gavel in and gavel out the special session? They did not. They gaveled it in, but then they adjourned. They just said, we're gaveling it in. Fine, we're in special session, but we're not actually going to do anything today. And now we know why. Dan Schaefer found, through the records request, that Speaker Voss was in Brazil at a 5-star resort as part of a conference. Robin Voss is part of a group and, in fact, has been the leader of a group called NCSL, the National Conference of State Legislatures. I have been a member of that during my short time in the legislature. At that time, NCSL, again, the National Conference of State Legislatures, NCSL was a bipartisan or nonpartisan group, very much a a service group in terms of facilitating bipartisan discussions about policy. They were a bunch of policy nerds and said, look, let's give everybody kind of a safe space to come in and talk about your ideas and maybe craft some model legislation that you take home with you or don't, up to you, but come and talk to other state legislators from across the country. Okay, you're with me so far. That sounds pretty good. I don't recall what they were doing back then, 15 years ago or so. But I've been reading what Dan has said, not just about the trip to Brazil, but another trip to Europe and some of his other travels. And that's not the NCSL that I recognize. And Robin Voss, like I said, headed NCSL a couple of different times over his tenure here. He was the president from 2019 to 2021, and he served out the remainder of somebody else's term earlier this year. So he's quite familiar with the group, and maybe he could answer better than anybody else. If you're a National Conference of State Legislatures, what value are you really getting? I'm not saying there's not value in groups that work among countries with state legislatures, but I don't know what it does for, say somebody from, Racine in this case, or Chippewa Falls, to be in Rio at a resort at an international conference when you've got big problems back at home. And in Speaker Voss's case, again, as somebody as prominent as he is, and as savvy as he is, you'd probably want to get ahead of this and say, hey guys, there's this conference happening. I really think it would be valuable. Here are the reasons why I think it would be valuable. So while I appreciate the governor calling a special session, we'll actually get going a week later, and then we'll talk about these various serious matters. But it took this open records request to figure out why all those people who came to the Capitol that day saw nothing and could do very little other than talk amongst themselves and friendly legislators on the Democratic side about their issues and wonder, why are we still debating whether to take a record budget surplus and address the child care crisis? Why are we still holding the School of Engineering building hostage over diversity, equity, and inclusion things that have nothing to do with the School of Engineering? These are all genuine questions. And again, as somebody who has been a member of NCSL, I'm not going to tell you NCSL is bad. I'm not going to tell you that legislators going to conferences are bad. But you would kind of want to get ahead of that. The one conference I went to was in Atlanta, and it was in the middle of summer or something like that, where, again, legislatures, by and large, are not in session. Robin Voss knew there was going to be a fall session of the legislature. So his judgment, you're right to question it. He also is entirely free to respond to all of this and, explain why he thought that was more important than everything that people in the Capitol wanted him to be working on. But that's for him to decide. I mean, he doesn't have nearly the issues of somebody in Congress who's there's many more questions about this guy. And I can hear, like, if there was a god of radio talk shows, he or she would be delivering this message to every talk show host today. George Santos, and go. Because that, Greg, is, I don't know if you've seen the ethics report that came down and everything that this clown was doing, everything from the Botox treatments with donor money to, purchases on OnlyFans, which is basically a pornographic site, all kinds of questionable personal purchases. He still has no shame that he would actually resign. His Republican colleagues still have no shame to expel him, not yet. But he did give us this big consolation yesterday. He said he's not going to run for re-election next year. Our long national nightmare is over.
I mean, it's been a wacky 2 years, Pat.
Here's the thing. He's only been in Congress for about 10 months.
Yeah.
That's how it feels like, yeah, forever. This year, Carolyn Fiddler helps us break down these things and more from her State House Action newsletter, and she joins us in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday, when you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The Education Department's launching an investigation into anti-Semitism and Islamophobia on U.S. college campuses amid the Israel-Hamas war. CBS's Tom Foti.
Specifically, Cornell, Columbia University, and Cooper Union in New York, Lafayette College and the University of Pennsylvania there, and Wellesley College in Massachusetts.
Israeli leaders say they're getting closer to a possible deal to free some of the hostages in Gaza amid a tragic discovery. CBS's Doug Williams.
Israeli Defense Forces say the bodies of two hostages, 65-year-old grandmother Judith Weiss and 19-year-old soldier Noah Marciano, were found near the hospital.
An attorney for Breonna Taylor's loved one says they'll continue to seek justice after the federal trial of a former Louisville police officer ended in a mistrial.
Of course, the family is disappointed. This is not the outcome they wanted, but we are here for the long game.
Brett Hankinson fired 10 shots in that botched raid. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Department of Workforce Development economist Dennis Winters.
People are getting jobs, they're getting paid well, and hence they're spending that money. And as you know, that's what drives the U.S. economy pretty much.
More than 3 million people are working in non-farm jobs in Wisconsin. That's close to a record. Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher and Tom Tiffany were the only two members of Wisconsin's delegation to vote against a bill to avoid a government shutdown. The bill divides government funding into two portions with new deadlines in January and February. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mulvey. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy and a whole lot colder today. We'll get to around 42 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. 29 tonight, sunny. 50 tomorrow. 50 again on Sunday. The weekend looking good. And enjoy it while you can because it's going to get colder. We're talking highs in the 20s by mid to late next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light. At 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC telling us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure. But why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
what's in your wallet.
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
K.
While we wait for Carolyn Fiddler to join us, a reminder, you can go to couriernewsroom.com and subscribe to newsletters with great political reporting from show guests like Carolyn, like Kia Vakil, who's off this week, like Mark Jacob, who will be along about an hour from now. Again, Courier Newsroom is the parent company of Up North News, and we would love to have you over at upnorthnewswi.com. Subscribe to our newsletter there and go to couriernewsroom.com and subscribe to those fine national newsletters that our friends put together for us. President Biden is on the West Coast working at a summit with countries from Asia and again talked about nurturing economic ties, but is not necessarily signing any trade deals. It says a lot about how the evolving global economy leads to agreements that need to be negotiated down to the letter, something that is still going on amongst the nations here. But the president also made clear that in future agreements, one of the things that's going to be getting more attention from his administration, and he hopes from the country moving forward, would be increased labor protections. Something that certainly people did not like the lack of in NAFTA and some others, that there should be trade deals that not only look out for the nations, the economies, the employers, but the employees and the environment and the customers by making sure that everybody's playing on a level playing field. But I do wonder, how would this have all looked if that had been Donald Trump out there? And I don't have to wonder very long, because we saw that shtick. It seems like a lot of people have forgotten that shtick, but we know what a Donald Trump presence on that stage at that conference this week would have looked like. Carolyn Fiddler sure knows and joins us now. Ms. Fiddler, I again, I'm sure that Greg got rid of it, but we again welcomed you in with the ultimate yacht rock hit, Michael McDonald, and I keep forgetting, but.
I still have it. It's not going away ever.
Oh, good for you. All right. Well, everybody this normally happens at 6:34. It's 6:37 now, but if you would, let's just backtrack. It's 6:34, everybody, and yacht rock aficionado, equestrian champion, the pride of Virginia, Carolyn Fiddler, is with us. Carolyn, so nice to have you back.
So great to be here.
Yeah, you have had a busy few months here since we last talked, because Virginia does their elections on that weird odd year basis. You're a Virginia native, right?
I am indeed.
So that's always been a thing, is that the state elections are an odd year thing?
Yeah. No, okay. Ever since there was a state constitution adopted, mm-hmm. you know, a couple hundred years ago that went into effect in an odd year. And then they had to have elections under that new constitution, and they've just been sticking to it ever since.
I just sense that after the midterms last year, a lot of places, you know, kind of took a breath and said, okay, we're good for 2 years. In Wisconsin, we were like, nope, we got a state Supreme Court race coming up. And you were like, yeah, we got everything coming up. And everything is putting it lightly. I mean, I described it as the governor there, Glenn Youngkin, was like moments away from declaring his candidacy for president if the elections had gone one way, and they went completely the other. To what degree was that? Where was that on shock, surprise, not shocked, you know, surprise, but not shocked that Democrats took both houses of the legislature there?
Maybe a little surprised about the House, but not shocked about either. Just Virginia is, you know, kind of slowly but pretty consistently moving to the left. Mm-hmm. And Virginians really like having their rights, and they don't like the thought of losing them. And Glenn Youngkin made it very, very clear he wanted to ban abortion in the Commonwealth. And Virginians were like, oh, what if he didn't?
Yeah. What if you did? What if we said, no, not going to do that? And that's exactly how it worked out. And that was kind of the theme across most of the states and almost Mississippi. That was kind of the theme, you know, post-Dobbs of, yeah, we're not over this, and stop wishing we were, right?
Yeah. No, I love the Republicans are like, this will go away. And everyone else is like, no, it's actually not.
No. And how... If Elvis Presley's second cousin had pulled that off in Mississippi, but even then, because you monitor all these state by state for state house action, you know, I did find it awfully curious that the one place that kept running out of ballots and had other irregularities, you know, were the black majority districts of the state of Mississippi. Shocked, I tell you, shocked in that Casablanca way.
Yeah, no, Mississippi is... has some real challenges when it comes to elections, ballot access, basic electoral fairness. Mm-hmm. And something else that might have actually hurt Presley is the fact that he is himself anti-abortion. He was not campaigning on in any way protecting or expanding abortion rights. And that said, I don't know if that would have made a difference down there meaningfully. Just the deck is stacked against voters in Mississippi from go.
But do you feel that part of the strength of his performance was how much he talked about Medicaid expansion?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. People do really like healthcare. That is just everyone's really into that. So mm-hmm. It was a smart thing to campaign on.
Yeah, I think again that Wisconsin being one of only 10 states, and almost all the rest of them are either in the very red Mountain West or in the deep South, to not expand Medicaid. Really says something about the degree of gerrymandering here in Wisconsin. But that's a court fight that starts next week. Next Tuesday, we'll be opening arguments or oral arguments before the Wisconsin Supreme Court on the challenge to the map. So we'll monitor that. No doubt Carolyn will as well. Before we get to Ohio, I want to come to Pennsylvania, because that's one that didn't get a lot of attention. But like Ohio, there was a lot of voter turnout that was based, again, on the issue of abortion rights. How so?
It's true. There was a state Supreme Court race there, and the Republican in the race like took pains to hide her opposition to abortion. She scrubbed her website after the primary, and she got called out on it. So,
Carolyn, I'm sorry. We got to stop there. The notion that any candidate scrubs their website. I mean, what? the internet is forever.
Yes.
Oh. All right. It's not even, you can see in the early days of the internet, you know, some reporter going, hey, I found this was cached. I found a copy of it. Now it's like, it's not even a big scoop. It's like, yeah, they tried to hide it, you know, by, you know, the way that you put your hands behind your back. It's nothing more savvy than that. Oh, look, we found your record. And so that's what moved people in Pennsylvania. But I wonder if in Pennsylvania, will they now try, I don't know, like in Wisconsin, will they talk about impeaching a state Supreme Court justice, or in Ohio trying to get around issue one, and in Michigan trying to get a federal court to throw out, you know, what the voters said about amending their state constitution to protect abortion rights? It just seems so strange, Carolyn, that their answer to the will of the voters is to say, well, what can we do to get around that?
Yeah, no, Republicans really like their grip on power, and Republican lawmakers in many states only have that power because of their own gerrymandering. And so they can't abide statewide election results being immune to gerrymandering that doesn't go their way. So yeah, they try and they flip tables and try to flip election results. But in Pennsylvania, Democrats have a majority in that state house. Mm-hmm. So there will be no impeachment there.
It's nice to see it at least in one place. We're not going to see something, you know, quite like that. Another set of elections that we didn't cover in depth, but I know you had your eye on, was the whole notion of school board elections, as the groups like Moms for Liberty and other, you know, AstroTurf right wing groups try to get deeper into micromanaging school boards and things like that. And I think that maybe that was, those were efforts that got some attention when people were frustrated about pandemic safeguards,
yes.
But they did not seem to have much for political legs beyond that, at least what we saw at the ballot box, right?
That's exactly right. There was a lot of frustration about school closures and kids taking school at home on Zoom, and parents hated that. And they responded. They took out their frustration on sitting school board members a couple years back, but that pendulum has swung back the other way. The Moms for Liberty fascist wing of school board candidates did pretty poorly across the country last Tuesday.
You even noted one was Antonin Scalia's daughter.
Sure enough. Oh man, that was a nice one to see. Her kids aren't even in public schools.
Well, no, she got four kids in private schools running for a public school board, whereas, you know, the woman who won has five kids, you know, described as a proud member of the LGBTQ community. So yeah. What are we saying here? That certain values still hold true amongst Americans, and that, you know, even these AstroTurf groups, no matter how much money they pour into races, they're going to win some, but they can't win them all.
That's true. But I think another thing we saw a little bit further under the radar is that these anti-transgender attacks just aren't working. Like, people just want to leave people alone. A lot of people, you know, think they don't know or don't actually know a transgender person. So that it might seem like odd and unrelatable to them, but also in the end, it doesn't affect their lives. And people just want to, you know, go to work, you know, read their kids a bedtime story, make sure they do their homework, pay their bills, you know, and have a life, and worrying about, you know, someone else, how someone else identifies is just not part of that equation.
I'm glad to hear that, because we're now going to transition into Tammy Baldwin's run for re-election next year. And that had these kinds of attacks, you know, been more successful, what that might have made, it's going to be an expensive campaign already. And we don't even know who the main Republican candidate or candidates are going to be, but it's going to be expensive anyway, because control of the Senate is at play here. But how do you yeah. think, how do you think these results inform next year's race with Tammy Baldwin?
I think we're going to hopefully take a lot of LGBTQ attacks off the table, maybe, but Republicans will stoop to anything. So if they feel like they're not in a good place, you know, in that race, who knows what they're going to do? Mm-hmm. Honestly, yep. they have no shame. And when they're down in polling, they'll throw anything at the wall. We kind of saw that in Virginia a little bit in the last few weeks of the races here, when it became, I think, fairly clear to Republicans they were going to do poorly on November 7th. You saw a lot of those public safety ads. You know, Democrats want to let criminals loose to kill your babies or whatever, even though a lot of these folks had never served in elected office before and had no, you know, record on these things. There was one a former prosecutor in Northern Virginia who had these ads run against her. She's like, no, I literally locked criminals up for a living. So good luck with that.
Greg, did you have some predictions or insight or fear about 2024 here?
Pat, I have so much fear. I'm made of fear. It's like a layer of buffet food. Then there's a layer of fear, more buffet food, more fear. I
laughed. It's not very relatable.
No, I thank you. How I connect. When Tammy first, Tammy, like I know her, when Tammy Baldwin first ran, I thought Scott Walker was going to be a viable candidate, and I got laughed out of the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just, he's doing too much. He's trying to connect with the youth with his YAF, or as I call it, YAF.
How old is that guy? He's older than I am.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
It's, and if you look at the YAF Twitter page,
oh, it's just so
like
bad.
Just the evilest of evils.
Yeah. And snarky and mean. And I don't know if they're trying to be edgy. It's not working.
I always thought he's much more clever than he actually is. I think he really thinks he's funny, and he's like, mm-hmm.
No, he's not. He's unfunny. He's not. He's the opposite of funny. There's funny.
Yep.
Then there's Scott Walker next to standing next to Robin Voss.
He's just mean.
No, exactly. Well, trust me, I could talk about this topic for hours.
And yet we had to break here.
Sorry, Pat.
State House action. You'll find it at Courier Newsroom. Do you want to run off right now, or do you have a couple of extra minutes?
I have a couple extra minutes.
All right, stick around. We'll do today's history lesson and music break right after this. You're up north.
The Tap.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Number one song this day in 1962. There's Frankie Valli. It's amazing he never wound up in the hospital singing that high. He and the Four Seasons hit number one. This was the number one song for 5 weeks in a row. Carolyn, you'll appreciate this. It was on this day in 1973 that Richard Nixon, President Nixon at the time, told 400 managing editors of the Associated Press, "I am not a crook." There wasn't big sound, you know, people weren't looking for sound bites. We'll bring Frankie Valli down and out of there. Frankie, thanks for playing. But you could tell all those folks at the time were like, oh man, if we were radio reporters, we would just be dropping that line in everywhere. The comedians of the time really liked it. It's a good political lesson. Don't say I'm not a crook.
If you watch that press conference and you see he's sweating so hard on his upper lip and through a three-piece wool suit, like it's so sad.
And yet, Carolyn, who else is in three-piece wool and not sweating? George Santos. Look how far we've come. In 50 years, you know, have him living this lie and going, la, la, what are you going to do? You know,
well, some people use Botox to control excessive sweating.
Thanks, taxpayers.
Oh, let's see. The Spice Girls hit number one from their self-titled debut album with the hits like To Become One, Wannabe, and this one from 1996. I realized as I was talking to Greg to set up the show here that I was raising two daughters who were, you know, 6 and 8 when this album came out. I know these lyrics way too well. I know their dance moves. And by the way, now I almost get weepy thinking about it. Thinking about these little girls in my house dancing away to this. But at the time, I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be knowing these things or not. But yeah.
And fun fact, I have no children, and I know all the lyrics.
Oh. So Spice Girls for you was not a little girl thing, but it was what? Was it something, was it bubblegum pop for you, or were you at this age of, oh, no, I'm too old for their music?
I was in high school at the time, and I was carpooling, I remember, to my summer job, and my carpool buddy had this tape, and she would just pop it into my tape deck, and she'd be like, this is what we're listening to today, and I'd be like, okay. Cool. And then, you know, when it was my turn, I would pop in Odelay by Beck. But
oh yeah, there's that.
That's good stuff.
That's the alpha and omega right there. Yes. On this day in 2003, Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor of California. The city of Denver was founded 175 years ago today in 1858. And as we mentioned before, Gordon Lightfoot was born this day in 1938. He passed away back on May 1st. The number one song this day in 1984 was by Wham. I can promise you that at that point, as this was hitting, that young Pat and Sherry in college set down their Amaretto Diet Cokes and headed for the dance floor at Shenanigans, and you know, just kicked up our feet, and we are so blessed that we were raised in a time that when we were in college, there were no camera phones.
That was the most Wisconsin story I've ever heard in my life.
Danny DeVito is 79 years old today. Whoa. Happy birthday. Yeah, RuPaul is 63. Rachel McAdams, 45. Yeah, former Milwaukee Brewer Ryan Braun turns 40 today. The Eagles were number one on the U.S. album chart this day in 2007 with The Long Road Out of Eden, which included Hole in the World and the single. We were just too busy being fabulous. Too busy to think about us. All right, one more melancholy anniversary note. The first COVID-19 case was traced on this day in 2019. To a 55-year-old man who had visited a market in Wuhan, China. And then the last thing we've got here is for Carolyn to take us back to when Howard Dean was running for president, because Howard Dean turns 75 years old today. And Carolyn, do you remember this moment?
Oh, hold on. It muted on me. It muted on me.
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what
I'm going to do. Washington, D.C. to take back the White House!
There it is.
That can you believe that back then that tanked his career?
I no. Well, here's the thing. He was one of those who had risen so far so fast. Again, we're talking like in that July, August, September, you know, of the year prior, he was on fire. And so by the time you got to the primaries, there was getting to be a little bit of fatigue, and he didn't finish first. And so his concession speech was, shall we say, colorful. But Carolyn, did you think at the time, like, wow, that's the end of the line for him?
No, not at all. I think a lot of it had to do with the media landscape at the time. You had the emergence of Fox News at that point and like no pushback on it meaningfully. Mm-hmm. And so they were able to take something like that and run with it. But also, yeah, I think you're right that I think there was a little bit of Democratic establishment angst at the time, and they were, you know, not sad to see him fall. But that campaign was so important, and laid the groundwork for a lot of modern campaigning as we know it today in a really good way,
That is extremely true. And he went on to run the DNC as well. But, you know, we kind of end like where we began with Nixon saying, I'm not a crook, which, again, would have been as amplified in, you know, real media. Mm-hmm. It didn't become a punchline till like weeks and months later as comedians were using it. But had he used a line like that in the modern era, it would have totally sunk him the way Green's Scream did for him.
You know, one of my favorite songs is by a band called Outkast. It's called Hey.
How long have you been waiting to use that?
I just came up with it right now.
And you found it. You got it that quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Governor Dean.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, he was, I think, one of the maybe the most successful chair of the DNC in the modern era. He was the guy who really invested in state parties and helped bring them back in like the early mid aughts in a way they desperately needed at the time.
Very much.
I speak from Virginia experience. He would like the Virginia party was struggling back then, and he really changed the game there and in a lot of places.
I just like the fact that he was Democratic, took no guff either.
Yes. Yeah. That was the really nice part. Yeah. You can catch Carolyn Fiddler's newsletter. Head over to couriernewsroom.com. So great to talk to you again, Carolyn. I'm glad you survived another busy Virginia election cycle, and hope to talk again real soon.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have Mark Jacob, and we're going to talk about national pollsters and when will they get it right, how they cover a presidential campaign. You're up north.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. The civic media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.